Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Joe Belanchio,
who's the director of the DC Shorts Film Festival, which returns September 19th through the 28th. Thanks so much for coming. Me coming to you this time.
Yeah, we appreciate it. It was an easy commute this time.
Nice checking out the office. All right, so let's start with, you know, macro level. What year are we in now, and what year are you with? When did you take over for John Gant?
Yeah, this is my sixth year, and this is our 16th overall. So we're very excited. It's a, you know, as usual, I think it's a fun time regardless of what we're going to screen. You know, it's going to be good quality, and we're going to have lots of parties and activities, and a great way to meet people and see films at the same time. So we're as excited as always.
Give us a sense of, I don't know if you have, you know, specific numbers on the top of your head, but ballpark it for me on how much it's grown since the first year to now in terms of submissions, or at least since you took over.
Yeah, submissions, we seem to be around 1,000, maybe 1,100 in the last, when I took over. And I don't mean this to sound like I'm the most wonderful. There's certainly a lot of people who do a lot of work. But and I think it was just the notoriety it sort of gained and continued to gain. And now we get about 1,500 submissions, which is really the way we currently do things is really about the max. It's like, while I'd like to see more, we get great films. So I think 1,500 is certainly plenty. And then out of there is what you see, which will be 156 films this year. So we're very excited.
Okay, so 156 films. From list some of the, you know, countries they're from. You know, the whole 156 films from this many countries or whatever that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, and there are 36 countries, which we're very excited about, and five continents. I think there's seven. I'm a little geographically challenged. But so they range everywhere, you know, obviously U.S., Canada, France, some of the more sort of interesting, Kyrgyzstan, Taiwan, which I think if you know film, there's typically lots of film out of Taiwan, but for some reason we did get lots of submissions in it that trickled down to films that we're screening. But they're just all, you know, great stories, and that for us is sort of the main detail. We're very, very proud of our female population, and we have 48 films from what we define as female filmmakers, which for us is, you know, really important. The gender equality in general, but certainly as it relates to film specifically for us. And I don't know that we necessarily go out with a quota. We don't have a quota, but it's just nice that we sort of choose the best films, and they turn out that, you know, 48 of them happen to be by female directors. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Now, you and I know this, but for our listeners who maybe never been to a short film festival, explain how it works with sort of, you know, they come to, you know, it's about the length of going to a, you know, a regular movie, but you get, you know, 10 movies for the price of one kind of a deal. A tapas platter, you know, assortment.
Yes, we use the term cinematic dim sum, which is tapas is another, you know, genre, but we're excited. And what it is you get about 90 minutes of film. And depending, obviously, on the length of each individual film, you typically will have 6, 7, maybe 8 if they're shorter films. And and we like that because we give them sort of the breadth of what short films are. I think people, you know, may have a connotation in their head of what it means, but, you know, there's documentary, there's narrative features, there's animation. We try and include a U.S. short. We try and include an international short, so a foreign language. And it really does give them the breadth of what's available to them. And early on, the first week is all what we call general showcases. And those are, as I said, those sort of compilations of everything. And then in the middle of the week, starting on Sunday, we do our thematic programs. And some are simply LGBT, animation, documentary, and others get more involved, like Ripped from the Headlines, which are very topical stories on immigration and things you might see in the news. A Question of Faith is another one we're doing this year based on religious films or films that use religion as a catalyst for their stories. So those themes are fun for anyone who might be interested in the stories that they tell.
Awesome. Do you want to hit a couple of them? I know you had some, you know, a couple showcase, you know, on the website, but yeah. I know, and you don't want to, I know you don't want to like hold any up over the others. They're all great, ladies and gentlemen. But for the purposes of this interview, we're going to hit on a couple of them.
Yeah, and I love the fact because my filmmakers who come into town, which quite frankly there's a ton of them, sure, come into town and they'll say, "Well, you did mention me in the article." Yes. It's like, well, because I love all the films and I can't, you know. It's like, you know,
hold me accountable, not Joe.
Yeah,
all right,
I'll blame Jason.
Send your hate mail to me. All right.
Well, one of the ones I really like is a question of faith, and you know, I think whether you consider yourself a religious person, a spiritual person, an atheist, an agnostic, you know, we're not saying these films are the truth that religion exists. It's just stories that are really good, unique, compelling, that happen to use religion as a backdrop. For example, one of the films we have is called The Rage of Evil, which happens to be a local film, which hopefully we'll be able to talk about locals later. And it's also ripped from the headline. So it's about a potential school shooter who ends up not doing that because something, for those of you who can't see, I'm using quotes, air quotes, who something intervenes and keeps him from doing it. So instead of being where he is, he's in a very different place now. So we wanted to use those to talk about religion in our lives in general. And I don't mean that specifically our lives, but the audience members and Dr. Allison Abrams, Bishop Allison Abrams is going to moderate that panel along with four of our visiting filmmakers. And again, we just really sort of want to take the topic as it's seen in the films and use it in a broader context.
Awesome. Okay. So, and what was that one called again?
That's A Question of Faith. That's Sunday at 5:30. We start the block of films, and about 7 o'clock will be the discussion. And it's all okay. One price. You're not having to pay for two. So, and the LGBT is always fun because we have such a wide LGBT community here. And one of the films I really like is called Father Figures from the Netherlands. And it's sort of stories that I think we've seen. It's sort of Paris is Burning, but it's done in an area where we don't necessarily often think of these balls and this sort of culture, if you will. So it's interesting to sort of take something we're aware of and something we're familiar with and sort of not really turning on its head, but sort of interpreting it through a different language. And that to me is a fascinating film. And Black Hat is another film. We have a lot of these films that could really sort of go across ripped from the headlines, religion, gay and lesbian. It's about a Jewish man who sort of finds himself through music and song and his hat. It's called Black Hat. So we really find, you know, sort of unique stories wherever we turn. And for us, that's sort of the aha moment of what sort of separates a good short from a great short. And I think our audience does a really good job of sort of interpreting that as well. And you know, things don't have to be splashy necessarily, but the story itself is sort of that oomph. So,
Sure. Yeah. Any other specific movies you want to highlight? Any others that I can use as like little, you know, examples?
One of my favorite, I think, sort of the whole staff, and when I say that, there's, you know, four of us and some great interns, but is called Lenoria. It's one of those you aren't quite sure what you're seeing. It's an animated piece, but it's beautifully animated. And part of it is these gothic creatures. But I don't want people to think this is this heavy, because at the end it turns into one of the, like, get your tissues ready because sure. I'm going to cry. Right. And I do cry. not that that's that hard with me. But again, it starts out being one thing. It's beautiful. And it turns into something else that's still equally or more beautiful and moving, and it's sort of the power of film to sort of put you through those reactions. Two Puddles is one of those films of almost given two scenarios, which do you do? People fall into a puddle and they stay in the puddle until someone else falls into the puddle as well, which ejects them out of the puddle. And this family dynamics is sort of, you know, really put on its head when one of the members falls in and you're sort of, what do? I can't get them out without sacrificing, again, air quotes, someone else. So I have to make this decision as to who's more important. And it's like, wow, this is a decision I don't have to make and right. I'm happy. But again, it's...
How would you choose in your life?
Yeah, it does. It makes you think. It's the power of film to react. Right. And whether that reaction is happy, sad, frustrated, angry. You know, we have films, some films will do all of those, but that's what we want. We want reactions of something, you know, good, bad, more than just indifferent, although that, I guess, can be a reaction as well. And for us, again, that's the power of film, and it's the power of what we do.
And you can share those reactions with the filmmakers themselves, the after parties and all that kind of stuff. Talk about how, either list some of the parties or just mingling opportunities for people to meet the filmmakers.
Yeah, and everything's a mingling opportunity. And, again, earlier we talked about how we sort of reached this status among film festivals where we really are sought out. And I'm just forever grateful for that. And the staff just, we're continually amazed that people basically come on their own dime from everywhere. I mean, we've had people from Israel, Spain, we've had a Japanese filmmaker, a Chinese filmmaker. So they really believe in what we do, and they want to be there to share their films with the audience. And so almost every showcase has a Q&A after, where you're able to ask questions. And as you said, if they're walking around the hall and you know who they are, they love to talk about films. So they'll, don't ever, if you see someone, don't ever feel bad about asking them. Some of the more formal things, we do have our filmmaker welcome reception at the Pepco Edison Gallery. We have our City View party. We like to say it's a rooftop party, it's a different roof. We've moved from downtown Carroll Square to the Cambria Hotel on O and 8th. So we're excited to sort of see a different view of the city. But that's always one of the fun parties.
Yeah, mix it up.
Yeah. So, and then our brunch is sort of the culmination, at least as far as the filmmakers go, of their weekend. That Sunday afternoon at the 600 Lofts at F Street. And those are all part of, they aren't things you can do as an individual, but we do have our All Access Pass. And the All Access Pass really is all access. It's screenings, it's parties, it's our educational outreach, it's, basically everything we do. That pass is $140. It also includes our online film festival. And it really is sort of the best way you get, front of line, you get in before anyone else does. So it really does give you all access,
which and then you can also piecemeal it too, like per screening, right?
You can. There are $15 a showcase, so that's certainly another option. And any way you can experience, we really want people to come out. And half the joy is the audience. It's the interaction with the audience. It's sharing your feelings with audience members. And the DC audience is never afraid to tell not only staff what they thought, but the filmmakers and each other as well. So to me, that's another joy. It's like there's no holds barred. They, which is good. And I think filmmakers appreciate the honesty.
Absolutely. And we would be remiss, but before we go, if we don't talk about the script competition, which is the other really great part of it. So not only are they, they screening the films themselves, but you're going to hear, well, I'll let you say it. Explain the script competition.
Well, it's funny because, we spend so much time finding films, and without screenplays and scripts and screenwriters, we wouldn't have any films to show. So for us, it was our way of saying, what can we do to support people who are inevitably giving us films to screen? So the screenplay competition was born, and it's again short screenplay, so anything under 15 pages. That usually translates to a page a minute, so they're 15 minutes ish and it's a crazy competition. It starts out being they send us scripts, we read them, we find our favorite 12, and from the 12 we picked 5 this year that really stood out, and that our committee thought made sense to inevitably become a short film. We cast those on the second Friday, September 27th. So if anybody's a filmmaker, then go to our, actress, go to the website and sort of find out how you too can audition to be in one of those. And then we do live screenplay readings. So those 5 screenplays will be read at the Miracle Theater on Friday night. Winner receives $2,000. They get $1,000 because they're the winner, and when their film is complete, they then get the extra $1,000. And the thing to me that I really find fascinating is that we've always had local competitors in, and we've had local winners. 2 years ago, the winner was local. Last year, by any other name, Peter Kimball, local filmmaker.
I know Peter.
Yeah, and Peter's film was made. It's rare that a film gets made that quickly, as you know. The last two winners from 2017, 2018.
Were in the next year's
were
festival?
Were both done the next year, and they're both local people.
That's awesome.
So we love that fact. But it's really fun because you can like people last year who saw the live readings sort of can remember it,
sure.
but then seeing it go from script to screen is right. really sort of special. And it is like a family. The actors have been in it for years and sure. years, and they, you know, come in and, you know, it's like old home week. So it's,
and if they can turn it around that fast, people who saw the reading can probably come. They haven't moved out of the city yet, or, you know, it's good to keep that same group.
Exactly, and it's really it is a neat sort of way to sort of see how the transition goes, because I think everybody thinks you write a script, it's done,
sure.
film gets made, it's done, and there's so much things that happen between those two processes, right. and it'll be interesting to hear Peter sort of talk about, you know, from the last point where he was standing on the same stage to the next phase and
what was
that
film
trials
called?
And tribulations called By Any Other Name,
okay.
and it's sort of a take on Romeo and Juliet. So,
oh, awesome.
Yeah, we love our local. You know, it fluctuates. I think 2 years ago we had like over 70 local films submit. Last year was less, and this year we only had about 16 or 17. So it's interesting to sort of think about and try and figure out the reasons. And us as a...
It comes and goes. In ways.
It does. And maybe next year we'll see 70 again. And we as a festival, you know, consider this our home and try and do whatever we can. And it's not always evident festival-wise, but we try and do things throughout the year that sort
sure.
of support the local filmmakers. We're getting ready to revamp our mentors program, which sort of helps local filmmakers do what they do and do it better. And we do education outreach during the festival, screenwriting and sound design and things like that. But for us, it's really important to, you know, to sort of support the community that supports us.
Absolutely. Well, I have more than enough to work with, but take us out of here in closing. Why should our listeners come out if they, you know, maybe if they come every year, you know, why make it an annual thing again? Or if, maybe if they've never come, you know, why should they come out?
Yeah, it's a really good time. And of course, I'm supposed to say that because of who I am, but it really is. Even I, you know, we do all this work to see people enjoying themselves. And in doing that, we enjoy ourselves too. And it's sort of like, yes, it's a lot of work, but it's, you know, that's sort of the payoff, is to see people enjoy themselves. And again, just sort of transport yourself to a different world and a different time, and use film to sort of, you know, get away from everyday life, which can, as we know, not always be, you know, fun and festive. You know, we're the fun and festive part. So, you know, I encourage you to come on out and say hi and see films and meet filmmakers and meet each other and just enjoy the experience together.
Awesome. Well, everyone, again, it's the DC Shorts Film Festival and Script Competition, September 19th through the 28th. So thanks, Jeff.
DCShorts.com has all the information. Can I do one quick thing?
Go for it. Plug whatever.
Can I say, I talked about our All Access Pass and how mm-hmm. wonderful that is. So can we say, like, the next 10 people who go to DCShorts.com, sign up for an All Access Pass, we'll give them $10 off.
Oh, all right.
Not that you shouldn't.
Did you just come up with that right now in the room? Or?
And Peter is probably listening and he'll go, oh my God.
When is that? He was like, when did we decide that? Right now, Peter.
I've been here 6 years, so, you know, I can get away with some of those things. So
okay.
if you aren't one of the first, still do it, because the All Access Pass is the best way. But dcshorts.com, we'd love to make it happen. Yeah, and use the code Joe. We'll make it easy.
There you go. All right.
Thank you for having me.
Heard it here first. All right, thanks, man.